Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. We have 22 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, it's going to be kind of rocking and rolling out there a little bit in terms of wind, at least, and waves as we head on through the next couple of days. We'll start with the Columbia River bar this morning. We have seas 2 to 4 feet through this evening. Seas are going to temporarily build to around 5 feet. During those max ebb current times, we have one around 8:30 a.m. and another around 8:45 this evening. But we're going to have a gale warning in effect from late tonight through Thursday evening. And let's just run through the forecast a little bit here, and you'll see what I mean by rocking and rolling out there. East winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 early this morning. We're going to have waves from the wind waves 1 foot high from the east. Northwest swells 3 feet at 15 seconds. Tonight, as the wind starts to kick up, the winds are going to get up to gusting to 35 knots after midnight. That's going to bring the seas up to, we're going to have maybe 5 foot seas or so. But as we go into Thursday, we're going to have winds gusting to 45 knots. And the effect of the wind blowing over all that time across the open ocean, seas could reach 19 feet by Thursday, with a dominant period of about 14 seconds between wave crests. Now, if you consider 14 seconds between a 19-foot, almost 20-foot wave, that's about two stories high. That could be a little bumpy out there for people who are working out on the water or out there for some reason. Rain is in the forecast, of course. But basically 19 feet, that's pretty much 20 feet. That's the threshold at which we start to see vessels being restricted from crossing the Columbia River bar. So that's when you start seeing waves that high, we could expect perhaps the bar to be on yellow, at least yellow status by tomorrow, or a red status even, meaning that ships will be asked to wait until the conditions improve. So that's a determination for safety reasons that's declared by the Columbia River bar pilots and the Coast Guard. But basically, we're looking at the weather getting a little difficult out there over the next 24 hours. Let's take a look at today's schedule. We have two inbounders, the Friendly Seas arriving from offshore. She's headed for the Crims Island anchorage up a little bit downriver from Longview. She'll pass Astoria about 7:30 a.m. and arrive at Crims Island maybe around 10. The King Rice, and you can see that Crims Island anchorage if you're driving on the Washington side of the river toward Longview. All of a sudden, you'll come to a part where this sort of out of nowhere, there's a big ship anchored there, and that is the Crims Island anchorage. It's a legally designated anchorage by the state. King Rice is our next inbounder, arriving from Sacramento, California, headed for Longview to a berth that handles logs. She'll pass Astoria around 3 p.m. You might see her, it's around 6:30 in Longview. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Ken Kahn headed for the Kalama anchorage. She's going to pick up corn, soy, or wheat there. She left very early this morning, probably got to Kalama by about 5 a.m. The Easter N is headed to the Crims Island anchorage from the Astoria anchorage, leaving about 3. That would put her there maybe about 6 p.m. She's a wheat ship when she does finally get to her berth. The Argent Iris is leaving the Astoria anchorage, going to Port Westward, which is near Klatskanai. She'll leave there about 4 p.m., maybe about 6:30 or so. She'll be in Port Westward there. The Duryea Jamuna is headed from the Astoria anchorage to Portland to pick up potash. And she'll leave there at about the anchorage at about 11 p.m., maybe get there at about 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we have the Panna Iota, the Star Crimson, the Gratia Universalis, who's been sitting out there for a while now, a couple of weeks, the FD Vittorio Raiola. Those four vessels are awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage. And Rice Island, we've got 3 vessels awaiting orders, a little bit upriver from Astoria. And we've got some outbounders, but I want to take some time and talk to you about this ship that sank in Willapa Bay. So I'll put this up on the Ship Report website later in the day. Well, I want to share with you a story from the Northwest News Network about a ship that sank in Willapa Bay. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson has filed criminal charges against the owner of a sinking ship that was abandoned in the waters off Willapa Bay. Molly Solomon reports. Let's play that story.
The owner of the ship is Sunfeather Light Dancer. He's been charged with abandoning a vessel and discharging pollutants into state waters. If found guilty, Light Dancer could face jail time and a $10,000 fine. His ship is a former Antarctic research vessel. It began to sink last March. Over several weeks, state officials cleaned up about 1,000 gallons of oily water. Some worried that the spill would damage local shellfish operators and the health of the bay. Willapa Bay is rich with oysters. Abandoned boats are difficult and expensive to remove. The state's ecology department estimates removal could cost up to $2.5 million. In Vancouver, I'm Molly Solomon reporting.
And a little bit more about this vessel. She's a 125-foot-long wooden-hulled boat that was built for the National Science Foundation in 1968. She was designed in her heyday to withstand the toughest conditions and was used for research and exploration in Antarctica until 1984. So this at one time was quite a robust vessel. But what they say about wooden boats, and having grown up in a family where my dad was a boat builder, wooden boats are giant holes, as they say, in the water into which you pour money. So anybody who buys an aging wooden boat had really better be prepared for a lot of expense. A little bit of the history of this vessel. According to court documents, the port of Umpqua in Reedsport acquired this boat called the Hero through a federal surplus program in 1984. A nonprofit foundation used the boat as an educational and research center until 1997, and then it was purchased by a Coast Guard member and fisherman named Bill Wechter, who bought it, put it in dry dock in Portland and made a lot of repairs on it. After the refit, he moved to Newburgh, where he gave tours and local cruises until 2003 on it. And then in 2008, after the boat had sat idle for 5 years, Light Dancer purchased it, and Wechter towed the boat to its new home in Bay Center. The boat sank in March 4th, 2017, following a storm, and there was immediate concern that the boat, which sits just upstream from the Bay Center Farm's oyster operations, could damage local shellfish growing operations or the ecology of the river in Willapa Bay, which is quite delicate because that is a big oyster growing area there. When an oil sheen appeared upon the water the following day after the boat sank, the Coast Guard and the Department of Ecology pumped about 1,000 gallons of oily water from the boat. They also used pads and booms to contain and absorb the oil over the next several weeks. So as you heard in that story, cleanup of this kind can be very expensive and time-consuming, and that's ongoing there. One thing about, wooden boats, we tend to sort of think, wow, wooden boats sounds kind of fragile there. But boats, before they invented things like fiberglass and steel for ships, all the great vessels of the world were pretty much made of wood. So there are many wooden vessels around the world that have withstood all kinds of difficult conditions and sailed quite well in them. And this vessel, but, maintenance is such a huge, huge thing with boats, and they're under so much stress. When you think about just the thing I like to say, just to give you some perspective, is that a cubic meter of water weighs a ton. Just a wave crashing over a boat can create a great deal of harm depending on how the weather is. That's why we get so concerned when we see things like 20-foot waves out there, because the stresses on board those vessels that are out there, even the steel ones. You see, we heard yesterday about containers going overboard. That means that the things that were holding the containers must have broken during a storm and thrown those containers overboard. Ships are very sturdy, and yet still things get broken under the many, many stresses of being at sea. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.